Hello and welcome to the Death Penalty Information Center podcast, exploring issues related to the death penalty. In this edition, we will explore the question of how the death penalty affects the families of murder victims. What are the needs of victims' family members in the wake of a violent crime?
Trauma survivors have a host of needs that are often ongoing and in many instances unmet in society's response to violent crime. Often, long-term counseling is needed where the state only provides for a limited number of sessions. Financial needs range from funeral costs to the loss of family income and are not satisfied with the limited funds available in estate victims' compensation funds. Though a large number of murders that occur each year are often unsolved, there are limited resources available for cold case units. Many murder victim family members do not even know of these services that are available in the state due to lack of publicity and outreach.
Do all victims' family members want the death penalty for those who murdered their loved one?
No. Victims' family members, like the rest of society, have a range of views on the death penalty, and these views sometimes change over time. For some, another killing just brings more grief to another family, while others feel that the death penalty does not honor their loved one. Other objections also raised by surviving victims include the feeling that the death penalty is not the way to bring justice for victims, as well as the feeling that execution does not help them heal in the aftermath of the murder. Some notable families have opposed the death penalty, despite having a family member killed. The family of Martin Luther King Jr., the Kennedy family, Bill Cosby, and more recently, the family of Eve Carson, a UNC student body president who was killed, all expressed opposition to the death penalty.
Do those close to the victim have any say in whether or not the prosecution seeks the death penalty?
Most state victims' rights laws require that the prosecutor consult with the family about all facets of the case, including whether the death penalty will be sought. However, this does not guarantee that the prosecutor will follow the desires of the family, as there are many other factors that contribute to the ultimate decision about the punishment to be sought. This is seen by many victims' rights groups as an arbitrary factor in the system that can cause emotional distress on the family, as often the ultimate decision of what punishment is sought can be swayed more by media attention and politics than by concern for delivering justice for those close to the victim.
Statistically, how does the race of the victim factor into the likelihood that the prosecution will seek the death penalty?
Since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1976, there has been a large racial disparity in terms of the race of the victim in crimes where the offender has been executed. In such cases, 77% of the victims were white, while 15% of the victims were black, despite the fact that whites and blacks are victims of murder in approximately equal numbers. This inconsistency can leave the family and friends of a victim where the death penalty was not imposed with a feeling that their loss was not as important in the eyes of the justice system as another case that did result in the death penalty. As a result, some victims' rights groups advocate for life without parole instead of capital punishment to ensure that all people who suffer the loss of a loved one can feel they are getting equal justice.
Does the death penalty bring closure to the victim's family?
Many victims' family members say there can never be closure when a loved one is murdered, regardless of the punishment imposed on the offender, and that if the concern is about helping victims' families in the aftermath of murder, there are more direct ways to reach that goal. Some victims' groups oppose the death penalty, such as Murder Victims' Families for Human Rights and Murder Victims' Families for Reconciliation. These groups note that the death penalty takes a very long time to reach a conclusion. It can be 20 years between sentencing and execution, if the execution ever occurs. That prolonged process can continually reopen the emotional stress brought on by the death of a family member. A sentence of life without parole, by contrast, begins immediately after the verdict and allows those who are emotionally impacted by the crime to move beyond the legal process. Some victims' rights groups also feel that the massive cost of the death penalty system is a waste of valuable resources. This money could be spent on more proactive efforts to prevent crime, such as more law enforcement officers. increased victim services programs are also a better use of money now spent carrying out the execution of a single offender.
What are victim impact statements and what issues do they raise regarding the fairness of the death penalty?
In a death penalty case, a victim impact statement is a written or oral statement delivered at a trial, during the sentencing phase, by a relative or close associate of the murdered victim. Typically, these statements describe the life of the victim and how the loss of that person affect others. In 1991, the Supreme Court decided that victim impact statements were admissible in death penalty cases. However, some believe this opens the door to unequal treatment. Moreover, family members who oppose the death penalty are unlikely to be invited to speak and in some cases are denied the right to deliver an impact statement, while victims' family members who are in favor of the death penalty have been allowed to exercise that right.
Where can I receive additional resources on the needs of victims?
DPIC's website, under Issues, has a variety of resources on victims, including national organizations, books, articles, and multimedia presentations.
Thank you for listening to the Death Penalty Information Center podcast. For more information on victims' rights and other issues, go to deathpenaltyinfo.org.